Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. During these colder winter months, we thought we'd check in with someone who knows a thing or two about colder winter weather. John Houston is a professional polar explorer and veteran of the first American unsupported expedition to the North Pole. He's completed major expeditions to the South Pole and Greenland. John is also a motivational speaker, safety and logistics consultant, and a wilderness guide. He regularly speaks to companies and organizations using his expeditions to discuss overcoming challenges. Today, John is joining us to talk about how he is using his experiences to speak to organizations about reaching their own goals. John, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
And you are now based in Boulder, Colorado, right?
Yeah, we've been here for about 2 months. We moved from Evanston, Illinois.
All right, so staying somewhere where at least it gets cold in the winter. It sounds like you like that kind of thing.
Yeah, northern Minnesota and Canada are more my flavor, but I guess this will do.
All right, so John, I gave a brief introduction about some of your career highlights and really some amazing stuff, and we're going to talk about it. But let me ask you, what expedition has been the most life-changing for you personally?
Our 2009 unsupported expedition to the North Pole has been the biggest polar challenge I've undertaken. It's one of the ultimate polar expeditions. At that time, only 12 teams had successfully completed it, and over 50% of them fail, often within the first 2 weeks. It was a three-year journey of planning, research, physical and mental training. And that expedition, because it was such a long journey, because it was so difficult and had such a high risk factor as far as failure, has had the biggest impact on my life. And yeah, I think about it all the time, and I often, that's my main narrative when I speak to organizations and companies. I take them through my expedition and pull out themes that can apply to their own challenges and whatever they're facing in life.
And John, you said, how big was your team?
Our team was two people.
That's an important point. Just two people, and typically is that a good size? I mean, you said 12 have gone before you and actually made it. Were they of other sizes?
Right. Most of the teams are small. Two people, three people. I think the largest team to ever do it was seven people.
Okay.
Which is huge. The more people you have, the greater the chance of injury or of problems with group dynamics. And that's key. You want to keep things as simple and as controllable as possible because there are so many variables in life and on polar expeditions that we can't control. So we try to keep everything as simple as possible.
And you started to mention the individual who is with you on this amazing journey.
Yeah, his name is Tyler Fish. He and I worked together at Outward Bound in northern Minnesota for a long time. And we were kind of like brothers. He was the older brother, I was the younger brother. And then I started doing polar expeditions, and he was the first person to pop in my mind as far as taking that huge journey. And that brother relationship changed, and we can talk about that.
Yeah.
But it was one of the major challenges, the 2-hour bound instructors whose job it is to facilitate interpersonal relationships and leadership themes for people end up having trouble getting along out on the Arctic Ocean.
Well, I can't imagine a better testing ground for any relationship. So you talked about the personal relationships, the fact that preparation is so huge and key to any expedition like this, and we'll come back to those points. But let me ask you, you've dedicated a good portion of your life now to reaching goals outdoors. When did you realize that you could be useful to guide and motivate others and then use this experience to take it into other areas like corporations and businesses?
Right. I first started feeling that I could facilitate experiences to help motivate people and to help have them think about making changes in their own life way back in 2000 when I started working as an Outward Bound instructor. And I worked as an Outward Bound instructor for 6 years. And during those 6 years, I lived outside for 200 nights a year. And I often use stories of historic polar expeditions from the turn of the last century as leadership curriculum for the courses that I was instructing. And then as I kind of embarked on my own journey, I started pulling themes out of my own preparation and my own way of facing challenges. And after the North Pole, I started bringing those stories to corporate audiences.
Tell us about your how you turn your adventures and experiences into motivational ideas or strategies then for someone who's in a very different, maybe much more physically comfortable environment like an office. What sort of links do you make?
I mean, I think challenge is challenge, and and stress is stress. Everybody has their own challenges, and everybody has their own different stresses. And just because I'm on the polar expedition doesn't mean it's more intense for me than it is for somebody else. So I really boil it down and make it simple and take the four main elements of what made our expedition to the North Pole successful and then translate those to the other people. And they're simple. You have to commit to the goal. Without committing, your team doesn't have a focus. It sounds kind of basic, but it's one of the main things to buy in a team to what you want to achieve. And then I say you have to be willing to put in the hard work and the patience to prepare properly. And often that means looking outside yourself to improve or to get input and how what you can do better. And I like to say that preparation is the expedition. If you can have an expedition mentality of how you prepare for something, you're going to give your chance. You're going to have a high margin of success there. And once we're on the ice and once we're actually in taking on the challenge, we really are fiercely optimistic. We don't consider quitting, and we believe in ourselves. And I support that belief with hard work and by committing to the team and communicating out there on the ice and just committing to going forward no matter what. I think oftentimes things go wrong or unexpected obstacles pop up, and we always just have a solution-oriented focus. Now, lastly, it never goes according to plan. So something I learned from reading about the Norwegian historic polar explorers like Roald Amundsen, who was first at the South Pole way back in 1911, is that a person has to be humble and a person has to be able to adapt. And on the ice, if we get lazy or we try to be too stubborn, we're going to get frostbite or worse. And the same in life. Like, we can't control everything. We have to be able to change ourselves in order to reach our goal.
All right. So to recap, committing to goals, be willing to prepare, believe in yourselves, be optimistic, and be able to adapt. So that really makes sense that you could then take themes like that and put it into a very different environment. And as you said, a challenge is a challenge. Let me ask a couple of quick questions. Tell me again, how long was the North Pole trip?
Our North Pole expedition was 55 days long, and okay. We covered a distance of about 500 miles.
And when you talk about preparing and being willing to prepare, did you talk to other teams who had made it or either didn't make it, or is there a healthy level of competition where you don't really trade a lot of stories amongst one another?
I think the community is very supportive of each other, and that's such a rare expedition to complete successfully that anybody who's undertaking it with a genuine focus on doing it the right way with some preparation, they have like a life experience that they're going to be responsible and safe out there on the ice. I think the community is very supportive of each other. And I've supported a lot of people since we've completed the expedition. I think that's one of the great parts about it, is if you can open yourself up to outside resources, then it's going to take you on paths that I hadn't thought of taking. And I think that journey in and of itself has been extraordinarily rewarding.
And you mentioned the first theme there, committing a team to a goal. In this case, you and Tyler committing to the goal of, I assume the goal was to actually reach the North Pole. Correct me if I'm wrong. But it brings up a good point that it may seem obvious, but in a office setting or business, sometimes the goal may be less clearly laid out, whereas yours was one that made clear sense. You needed to get to a destination, and I assume then get home.
Right. I mean, on the basic level, yes, we committed to reaching the North Pole and supported no matter what. But we also committed to how we were going to do that. We wanted to do it safely. We wanted to maintain our friendship. We wanted to have a patient long-term plan that can kind of turn the daunting prospect of reaching the North Pole into a progression or a sort of education as we were preparing. So, I mean, I'm committed to being optimistic as well. I mean, we decided, hey, we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to do it. These are going to be our values, and we're going to go back to those values whenever we have a crux point or we have a big decision to make.
And that leads me into my next question then, to ask you about a specific experience you had while you've been out in the outdoors and how you've used that in your motivational speaking. It sounds like the relationship with Tyler has been a big part of this process for you.
It has been. We're all humans, and it's been humbling and kind of surprising in how, like, one of my best friends, how we could struggle to get along because we had some issues working together in the preparation phase. Life got busy. We got stressed. We had times that we had scheduled to check in and talk about our working relationship, but we always kind of just did them perfunctory or not with the depth that was required because we were so busy and stressed. It felt like we had more important things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we brought some of those issues onto the ice with us, and it really just kind of turned into a sibling rivalry of sorts out there. And at a certain point on the expedition, it was too much. And we had, it kind of blew up a little bit. We had an argument about something inconsequential, which how the food was packed. And then we talked it out and we said some difficult things to each other. And we were totally honest and open. And at that time in the expedition, we were actually drifting south and falling behind schedule. We lost about 30 pounds each. We were pretty emaciated and stressed. But we said, hey, we have to stop the train and talk to each other and devote and have the focus of reaching the North Pole and maintaining our relationship be the primary goals right now. And doing that saved the expedition and it saved our relationship. I think when you go through difficult times with somebody in any walk of life, you can come out with a negative perspective on that experience and that person. We really didn't want to have that. A lot of people leave expeditions or mountaineering expeditions or whatnot as enemies, and they maintain that stubbornness going forward. And we just thought, hey, we're human. This stuff happens. We're going to give each other the benefit of the doubt and be honest and move forward. And it worked out for us. And it can be difficult to do that in normal life. Everyone has those situations where something feels awkward with a teammate or somebody you're working with. And we have to be able to hit the pause button and address it and then move forward.
I mean, I can't even imagine out there, as you say, on the ice and burying emotions or sitting on a grudge and not and what that might feel like with only one other human anywhere nearby to sort of experience what you're feeling maybe quietly. So getting that out was so important, it sounds like.
Right. It's claustrophobic. We can't leave. We can't change so many things about our existence. And the feeling is this, like, it's so obvious that I have, like, my negative goggles on when Tyler's saying something that I shouldn't be interpreting negatively. Like, we all know what a little power struggle or a little grudge holding feels like, but it takes, like, you have to be able to stop and then put your pride aside to deal with it. And that's not easy.
John, your next gig outside of motivational speaking could be like marriage counseling.
I don't know.
I'll leave that.
Right.
All right. So tell us about feedback then. Tell us about the feedback you've gotten from groups you've spoken to. Has anything surprised you about the reaction you get from people in a corporate culture?
Yeah, in a corporate culture, I think people are often pleasantly surprised how well they relate to the story that I'm telling. And the fact that it has some plot and some unknown and it's kind of in an extreme environment, I think adds to the story. But I think people, when they see presentations, I don't know, they're used to a different style or something. And I come across, I just tell my story, but pull out themes that obviously relate to whatever someone else's endeavors are. And I think people grasp onto our devotion to optimism and being able to change in order to succeed. And they then start to look at their own lives and think slightly differently. Hope is my hope. And I've gotten a lot of great feedback from all the different audiences over the years.
And are there approaches to reaching goals for a business or an individual that you see missing in businesses today when you've talked to people?
Yeah, I think one of them is humility. And one of my kind of mentors or heroes, I never met him. He's Roald Amundsen. I mentioned him earlier, the Norwegian who led the first expedition to the South Pole. His calling card was that he was humble. He was extraordinarily self-critical. He identified all his deficiencies and attacked them with vigor. And that sort of humility, I think in today's world, is something people don't think about all that often. It's like people who succeeded in early polar expeditions, came back with all their fingers and toes, came back alive, were the ones who were humble, who could work or kind of dance side by side with a dynamic environment because they were willing to adapt or willing to look at themselves critically. And I think in today's world, that can get lost when people are trying to prove themselves or do it their own way or just not being willing to look outside of themselves for feedback.
John, it's an amazing story. You actually have a book out about the journey and the photography. If you want to visit John on the website, and I'll tell you how to do that, is also just gorgeous. And did you do a lot of that with Tyler? Obviously, there were just two of you out there, so one of you is
correct. Yeah, we did all
of
our own photography. We had offers from film crews to come with, but we knew we'd end up just taking care of them. So yeah, we just take all our own photos.
All right. Well, and John, you can visit. It's johnhouston.com, right?
That's correct.
All right. John, it's a really intriguing story, and congratulations. I know it's you've had time to sort of take it all in and be home and travel with your family and actually have a growing family. So congratulations. And do you have plans for anything down the road, or are you taking a break?
Yeah, it's a bit of a quiet time for me right now. We have young twins. I'll be guiding a client trip that's open to the public on Baffin Island in the spring of 2019. It's like a great 2-week introduction to polar travel. I mean, it's intense, but it's not North Pole intense by any means. We're going to ski past the tallest vertical bases in the world. It'll be a fantastic trip. And other than that, more speaking and more work with expedition equipment companies, consulting.
All right. Well, keep taking your amazing story and message out to people in the work world and in suits or whatever people wear in the office these days, but certainly not what you were wearing on the North Pole. Thanks again to Polar Explorer motivational speaker John Houston for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
And just a reminder again, johnhouston.com is where you can learn more. And if you'd like to learn more about the BBB, visit us at bbb.org for the Better Business, Better Series podcast. I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.